Genesis chapter 49, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defiledst thou it. He went up to my couch. Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly mine honor. Be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering of the people. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for an haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens, and he saw that rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant unto tribute. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse's heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him, and shot at him, and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under the blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors, unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Every one according to his blessing he blessed them. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed, and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, it's the passing of an era, isn't it? It's the passing of one of our favorite characters, one of Jacob. Jacob, born the supplanter, Jacob who dies as the Israel, the one who had power with God. No more a supplanter, no more a man of trickery and illicit means. Now, Jacob has power with God. So then, Jacob calls his sons that he may bless them before he dies. He may pronounce upon him that prophetico-patriarchal blessing. May I say, in addressing perhaps some of the gainsaying of our own age, that there are those even in Reformed circles that would return to a patriarchal kind of religion, which we cannot do. The religion of Yahweh today is not the same as it was then. Oh, it is the same God, and that same moral law applies without a doubt. But the establishment of that church of his is different today than it was then. And we must not think it a godly thing to interpret ages that God himself has brought to a close as if they should persist. We say the same to those sincere but horribly deluded folks that want to continue to celebrate the ancient Jewish feasts as if they were still valid and ought to be continued today. We say the same thing here, that a patriarchal blessing, number one, children, you should seek the blessing of your father. You should seek the blessing of your mother. But you should not think of that as prophetic. You should think of it as your duty under the fifth commandment to seek their favor. Now that's a lot different from what Jacob does here. Because Jacob speaks as the leader of the church, the prophet, the one to whom God spoke. And as the father of his children here that made up the church, he speaks not particularly as a father, but particularly as a prophet. So it is important that we not make in a passage such as this an avenue for turning back the clock of our ecclesiology, of our churchliness, but that we press ahead to the days of the Bible as it unfolds in its revelation, that we follow all of the commandments of God, not pigeonholing one above another, as many are wont to do, even in Reformed circles today. So then, Jacob runs through his sons and blesses them, and of course, in a reading, we don't have time to focus in on each of those. Let's just do some overview work, okay? He begins with Reuben. And Reuben, although the firstborn, he spends a little bit of time on Reuben to say why he did not get the right of the firstborn. And that's important. And so Jacob says he doesn't have the rights of the firstborn. And the reason he doesn't is because he defiled his father's bed. He violated the seventh commandment. Secondly, Jacob lumps together two, Simeon and Levi. And we remember the rapaciousness, the violence of Simeon and Levi, their anger, so that they slew an entire race of men at Shechem. What is interesting about that is that while they are both scattered throughout Israel, they are not scattered in the same way, are they? Simeon is scattered throughout Israel as a curse. And so the scattering of Simeon is such that there was no tract of land that was recognized as the tribe of Simeon. They had cities and towns spread throughout the 12 tribes. Levi is also scattered throughout the 12 tribes. And while there is no tract of land that is identified as the tribe of Levi, there were cities and towns, much like Simeon, in all of the 12 tribes where the Levites had their places. But they were scattered throughout the land to the good of the people because they became the teachers of the law, those who conducted the worship services, those who presided over the synagogues throughout all Israel. And so we have in Simeon and Levi the blessing and the cursing as well. Then the next is Judah. And Judah receives an extended treatment, although Jacob, for his part, in his own natural inclinations, was not so much inclined toward Judah. All of his affections ran toward Joseph. Note the largeness of the blessing that goes to Judah, even apart from Jacob's natural inclination, telling us that this is indeed a prophetic word that speaks of the lawgiver that would come from Judah, that is, not Moses. He was from Levi, but Christ himself. And this statement, a lawgiver shall not be lacking in him until Shiloh come. Shiloh, in this instance, is indeed a looking down the prophetic corridor of time and seeing the coming of Christ. And so Jacob, in effect, prophesies that out of Judah Christ would come. All right, so then we have Zebulun, Issachar, and Dan. It's hard to say that they get short shrift, but indeed much less than what we have heard already. And then Jacob breaks, stops for a moment, and he says, I have waited for thy salvation, O God. And then if we thought that Zebulun and Issachar and Dan received short treatment, we get Gad and Naphtali and Asher very, very quickly. And it is as if Jacob is rushing to the blessing to Joseph. And so he does. And we see Jacob's natural inclinations mixed with that prophetic influence here, speaking about Joseph and the blessings of Joseph, that although he was hated and hunted by his brethren, he will become like the archer, and he is the one who will provide then for the church, which is exactly what Joseph did. And then we have Benjamin also very, very quickly shall raven as a wolf, and so on. And again, we don't have time to bring up each one of those blessings. So then, although we have all of these 12 tribes, notice that he charged them. And then at the end of the chapter, he says, what? I don't belong here in Egypt. Isn't that exactly what we've come to expect from Jacob? And so he says, when I die, I want you to carry up my bones and bury me in the cave of Machpelah. I must be gathered to my people. Abraham is there. Sarah is there. Isaac is there. Rebekah is there. And there is where I buried Leah. And that is where you'll bury me. I don't belong here. I don't belong in Egypt. The promises of God are all over there. And so bury me then in the cave of Machpelah, which my father Abraham bought from the sons of Heth. Then the chapter closes with a very sweet sentiment. Notice that Jacob does not fear death. We've inoculated ourselves against the experience of death. If I was to ask you, and I'm not, but if I was to ask you how many of you have ever been with someone as they have died, very few of us would be able to raise our hands. We've taken that away from our society because we're just deathly afraid of death. And so we've sanitized ourselves from that. We don't want to experience that. Notice that Jacob is not afraid. He has completed his life's work. We're reminded of the Apostle Paul. I've run my course. I've finished my race. And so Jacob, when he is done here, he pulls up his legs into the bed. He gave up the ghost. Now, I don't know if this is written in the style of ancient Near Eastern testimony, where what we're really hearing is this is the last public act of Jacob. And so after that, he just kind of recused himself from all public life until he died, or if at that particular time he pulled up his legs into the bed and died, his life's work being completed. Either way, we have death not coming to Jacob as something to be feared, but as a comfort of him being gathered to his fathers, being gathered to his people. He's not afraid. Not afraid at all. You see, this, you know, for all of the warts that we see of the patriarchs, let us never forget that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were men of towering faith. Not just great faith, towering faith. They have so little to go on and so hearty a grasp on that little that they have to go on. They lived as men of another world and gave up everything to follow Christ. They were men, and I might say they are men, of towering faith. Thus ends the reading then of Genesis chapter 49.